All right, guys, here's the deal. We're starting something new here in the world of the Parish Circuit. Every now and then, we're going to release an episode where we sit down and evaluate the things that are going on in St. Lancer Parish and in the city of Opelousas and talk about them based on a biblical worldview. What does the Bible have to say about the things that are going on in St. Lancer Parish and in Opelousas? And then we're going to post it on the internet.
Woo! That's a great idea.
That's a great idea, Stuart.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I felt like this was something that we needed. So first, we should introduce ourselves. I'm Stuart Amidon. I pastor Christ Church Opelousas, and I also own CEO. I do stuff at Page 50. I don't know how to explain that well to people. Page 50 is my business. I work here, you know, and we do things together and all those wonderful things. And then I've also helped start nonprofits in town in the city of Opelousas and in St. Lancer Parish. And I've served on a lot of boards and blah, 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 all the boring things. All right. Who else do we have in the room? We have Jesse Marsalis.
Yes, I'm Jesse Marsalis. I am actually a Christ Church Opelousas member.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you better watch out.
We don't know if we can trust those people.
Oh, absolutely not. No, they're a bunch of weirdos. I actually work at Page 50, a video audio producer. I do a bunch of email stuff, graphics work. I run a bunch of accounts for a bunch of different pages.
People all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of a big deal.
I mean, I wouldn't say that.
I would.
And Jesse is our reporter in the field. That's how we refer to you.
I suppose. The reporter
in the field.
I feel he like is reporter's the... better than journalist.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh, journalist in the field?
Am I a journalist? Is that what it makes me?
I don't know yet. We'll find out at the end of this episode.
I like scooper.
Scooper.
You're the scooper.
He's got the scoops.
Oh, yeah.
He's a scooper. I don't know. I don't know about that one. All right. And then we have Marley Judice.
Yes. Hello. My name is Marley Judice.
The EPAC.
I'm the executive producer of all audio content here at Page 50.
Oh, yes. The EPAC is back. Yes, oh, let's go, yes. Baby. Let's go.
No. But all jokes aside, I...
Marley EPAC Judice. Sorry. I know you're trying to be serious right now.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Hold on. I got you.
All right. That just made my day better.
Yeah, but I go to Christ Church of Acadiana, the Lafayette campus. I also work here at Page 50. I'm the production manager for all production. The project manager for all production over here.
Ooh.
I like to do a little bit of media production myself every now and then.
I like to do sound. Yes. I do sound. Things yes. With sound. That's great.
I like the sound of that.
And we, man, that was good. There's no laugh track for him, Marley. We didn't have one right there. Oh, we got the rim shot on play. Oh, yeah. See, it's a little clunky the first time, but we'll get going. So we all live in St. Lancer Parish. We all work in St. Lancer Parish. We all work in Opelousas. I think that Marley is outside of the city limits of Opelousas by like 3 miles. I'm outside of the city's limits of Opelousas by literally about 100 yards. So this is all, we're here because we care. We're here because we care. Amen. I feel like I need a bumper sticker that says that or something. And our desire is to, again, talk about things that are going on in St. Lancer Parish and in the city of Opelousas from a biblical worldview. And today's episode, our inaugural episode, is going to be us walking through the city of Opelousas. They recently had their, what was it, the city council meeting?
Yeah, the monthly city council meeting.
The monthly city council meeting. And our reporter in the field, our scooper, Jesse Marsalis. Oh, man, that might actually stick now. Our reporter in the field, Jesse Marsalis, went to the first meeting, and he kind of sat through and made some notes. And we're going to talk through the agenda of the city council meeting and just kind of see what's going on. So you guys ready for this? Are we ready to jump in?
Oh, we're ready.
Oh, we're ready. Okay, so... The very first thing that I see in here, oh man, they got a ton of things going on. Are we going to talk about unfinished business? What's the first thing we should talk about, Jesse?
So the first thing, actually, this was a...
You can find this, by the way, if you want to follow along in this episode, you can find the agenda on the City of Opelousas website to be able to kind of see the things that we're talking about if you want to pull it up on your computer or on your phone or something while you're listening. Okay, go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead.
So I've actually been going to these meetings for a few months now, and out of all the ones I've gone to, this was probably the shorter, on the shorter side of the spectrum.
So only 7 hours long?
It was, yeah, I mean, it was grueling. It was still grueling. I think it took about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not bad.
The first one I went to was like a 2.5 hour long one.
Oh, wow. Wow. I was like, oof. They got a lot of stuff to do. And they only meet once a month, right?
Yeah, once a month on the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday of the month. Okay. Second Tuesday of the month. All right. I got it. So what do they got? What do they got going on this particular meeting?
So a lot of what happened this time around, there wasn't too much unfinished business from last month. They actually got a lot of stuff cleared out.
I'm noticing
last
that,
time.
That's an item. I think I'm holding the one from May in my hand, actually. Hold on. Now I have June. Unfinished business. Yeah, I see it now. Item 11 on the list here.
So item 11 on here, actually, regarding the donation to the Acadiana Railway. They're functionally trying to give a bunch of property with rails on it. I don't remember if it's actually like a rail line that's publicly used or if it's a privately owned thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to give to donate this, so that they're no longer responsible.
So they're not carrying the burden of it. Yeah,
exactly.
I see here it's located in the Opelousas Industrial Park. That's on the west side of town. That's over there around where Opelousas Bible Church is. There's the big industrial park out there. So they're basically saying, hey, we don't want to pay for upkeep on this anymore. We need somebody else to take over the upkeep on this. Somebody else take it. And they're donating it to who? Who does it say that they're donating to?
So it shows here Acadiana Railway. That's like an association.
Okay.
They just want as much, you know, railway that they can get their hands on. And I think this actually removes the liability of about $170,000 a year of upkeep.
Wow.
So that's no longer on the city's shoulders.
Do we know if it's being used for anything right now? I assume that they're donating it because it's not being used.
I believe it's being unused.
Okay.
I don't know what they're going to use it for. I should probably do some more digging on that, if anything. Because it's actually been something that's occurred, I think, for the past 2 previous meetings as well. They'd started discussing it a couple months back. So it just seems like they're just trying to, the legal jargon they actually used, not in this, on this sheet, but in the meeting, was that it's an exchange, not a donation. That way it's like better.
Did you hear my coffee slurp? Is that why you're
it
laughing?
It was very loud.
Well, it's in the recording now. Yeah, so it's an exchange. What are they exchanging?
They're literally just exchanging the property. It would have been the same if they just donated it.
Okay.
They just changed the terminology that they used. So that the way they're exchanging the land in return, they no longer are liable for the upkeep.
Okay, so they're handing the responsibility over to somebody else, and it's saving the city money. All right, you know, whatever, I'll take it. I am I'm a big fan of cities and government agencies owning less property. I think in Lafayette Parish, the largest landowner in Lafayette Parish right now is actually the Lafayette Parish School Board. Did you guys know that?
Nope.
They are the largest landholder at this current time. And I feel like that's a pretty common theme. I know that there's school boards in a lot of parishes who own a lot of property. In some instances, even rent it out as options for hunting and fishing camps. It's an interesting dynamic. So I appreciate the idea of a government entity not owning property, not owning assets. That's for private individuals.
Yeah, they better watch out because Acadiana Railway is picking up.
It's picking up. All right, what else? So what else do we got going on that's worthy of discussion inside of this meeting, Jesse?
We just discussed item 11. Item 10 is pretty interesting because there's actually a lawsuit against the city of Opelousas.
There's a ton of them, I'm sure.
All the time. But I think it also goes to 6 other co-defendants in the suit, Linda Mallard versus Agro Chemical Company. And it has something to do with, let's see if I can find it on my notes that I took. It's an asbestos lawsuit stating that Opelousas, as well as others, are liable for a bunch of damage. Oh. Like somebody got cancer from asbestos, but there's actually no... Apparently, according to the council, there's no proof that actually ties Opelousas into it, and only a little bit that even indicates the others.
Asbestos.
I'm not super involved on the court case there.
Okay.
I just know.
But the city's getting sued.
There, well, people are trying to sue the city.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think they're effectively being sued.
Oh, okay. Not yet.
Not yet. Anyway. Not yet.
So it's interesting though, because inside of municipal code, if cities are sued, they don't actually have to pay out their suit. So to sue a municipality doesn't actually do much. You're guaranteed very little return in a thing like that. So future note for everybody, heads up. Typically, municipalities are not required to pay out on whatever they are sued. All right.
That's good to know.
Moving on. Next thing. That's good to know. I'll sue less cities. what else? What else do we got
so
here?
So item number 12, Alderman John Gilbo of District A decided he made a move to condemn and eventually demolish some property, 818 Natchez Boulevard.
Who owns that property?
I don't recall.
Did they talk about it?
They talked about it a little bit. I thought it for a minute there. I thought it was actually related to what last month was with some unfinished business from last month, but it actually wasn't regarding some property that somebody was supposed to upkeep then.
Yeah, this is over by the hospital. It looks like Natchez. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I used to live over by there.
Yeah, this looks like an abandoned house maybe over by the hospital. I pulled it up on my phone and I'm kind of taking a look at it here. It's interesting that he wants to tear it down.
He wants
condemnation demolition of reference property. It looks like a nice little house. Interesting. I wonder why it's being torn down or why it ought to be torn down. Did they say why?
It's just falling apart and nobody's keeping it and they can't take the responsibility.
Is it owned by the city?
I don't think so, actually.
Oh,
I think
really?
It's somebody. So whenever you condemn a house, like it's not required for the city to own it. Because if you own the building, it can be condemned by the city if you're not keeping control of it. Which was actually some of the deal that was happening last month, where somebody had owned an abandoned brick house or something that was falling apart.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, if you don't get this fixed in the next, I think they gave her like 80 days, then we're going to condemn it. Condemnation of a house eventually leads to demolition, which, houses are being condemned left, right, and center in the city.
Sure. A lot of times I've seen that to be a part of a tax repossession, though. Like somebody loses a piece of property because they didn't pay the taxes on it, and then that becomes the burden of the city to keep it up. So that's why I was asking who owned the property. But that's interesting that it looks like it's still owned by a private citizen. So a private citizen can own a piece of property, and it can enter into a state of such disrepair that the city can actually step in and condemn it and knock it down?
Functionally. I don't know who owns the property, but they did not hint towards it being the actual city's property. It seemed like it was somebody else, and
no
one was present to speak for it.
I gotcha. Well, interesting. All right, well. Bridge replacements and upgrades happening in the city. I see that in number 13.
It wasn't. So item number 13 and item number 14 are actually both the same thing.
14 has nothing on it.
And 18, item number 18.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're functionally the same thing. So the engineer's recommendation is to rebid the bridge replacements and upgrades project. It was a
Why?
Bid for them. So
they got all the bids and now the engineer's saying reject them?
Yes. They did a bid process for to get some contractors to do a bunch of bridge replacements and upgrades. But only one person actually bid for it. And the contractor was about $1,006,000 over budget.
Oh, nice.
No, $1,002,000 over budget.
And they had no other bids to compare it to.
Yeah. And so the engineers, they kind of took the bid but rejected it at the same time. I don't remember the exact jargon that they used. I forgot to write it down.
Okay.
But the engineer's recommendation was to fully reject it and rebid again.
So the city engineer said this is too much money. It shouldn't cost this much.
It's way too much money.
Okay. He said it should cost less. Interesting. Okay. All right. Moving on. Man, I bet you there's a lot of roads and stuff inside of the city. So bridges that need repair for sure. My goodness.
I mean, and all the water leaks too. I mean, that was one of the big deals of last month, right after a huge storm.
I know. A couple of them look like geysers. I have videos of it on my phone, man. It's wild.
That's just the hot springs of Opelousas.
The hot springs. Don't bathe in it. Don't bathe in it.
It's going to become a tourist attraction.
It will be eventually. All right. Number 19. Adopt a resolution authorizing the sale, exchange, or disposal of any surplus property not needed or used by the City of Opelousas Museum for public purposes, fixing the minimum prices and terms of the sale or exchange through advertisement of public sale.
So this one's probably the most interesting one.
What am I looking at right now?
Basically...
Basically, this is at a city council meeting?
This was at a city council meeting, yes. So basically, it's a shopping list for anybody who wants to buy something from the museum.
Marley, do you need a pot with lid? Item number 5.
No, I just got one.
Oh, wow. I
was actually eyeing the Lazy Susan. It's only $5. I was considering going by.
I can't believe that this was a part of it. Was this like discussed at city council?
It was discussed. They were like... Wait, so what is this?
So somebody had to request through the city council.
Because it's all government owned.
That they sell assets from the Opelousas Museum that they don't want anymore. Basically, they had to ask permission to have a yard sale. That's what just happened here,
basically,
right?
Basically, yeah, they had to ask.
This is a new level of marketing.
I can't believe this.
The Victorian dollhouse, though, it's a 4 feet by 4 feet by 2 feet. It's about $50 to $100. That's not bad.
You know, if my daughters were a little younger, I would consider that. I would consider that as an option. I had a dollhouse for my oldest. And now my youngest daughter is also using it. It survived, you know. But if I had to reacquire a dollhouse, hey, I would seriously consider this. All right, so government sanctioned yard sale, got it.
If you want to find dollhouses, go to city council meetings. Right?
Oh man, I can't believe that this is. All right. Let's move on. All right, number 20. Consent agenda. Ooh, this is personnel stuff. This is where things get spicy.
Yeah, this is always regarding like police or firemen stuff or sometimes medical agencies.
All right. Except fire operator Shannon Sampa's resignation. Oh, did they talk about that at all?
No, it was just, that was just somebody just resigning. Like, she was just not wanting to work.
She was moving on. Nothing crazy was happening.
Yeah, nothing crazy seemed to be going on there.
Proof payment of $7,000 for 360 hours of accumulated annual leave. So it sounds like she's been around for a little while.
Yeah, and it seemed like she was going on just like greener pastures.
She was getting another job somewhere else.
Or she was going to a retirement home. Yeah, I don't know the difference.
All right. Approved probational officer Dexter Allen Washington's administrative leave with pay, an interruption of working test period. What? Okay, got it. What is that?
So
wait a second. Okay, I've got two in a row. And then it says accept probational police officer Dexter Allen Washington's resignation. Wait. So what's happening?
All right. This is actually a little bit spicy.
Uh-oh.
So probational police officer Dexter Allen Washington was put on administrative leave on March 31st.
Okay.
Not March, sorry, May 31st. Because he had off-duty physically assaulted a teenager.
What?
What
does that mean?
So he, I mean, like...
That's
he,
what the
so
charges
he shoved
say?
Him, he, yeah, the charges say he shoved him into a wall and threw him on the ground. I don't know all the motivations behind it yet.
You don't know the story.
Yeah, I'm still looking into that.
Okay.
Yeah,
story matters in situations like that for sure.
And so 7 days later, he resigned before they could fire him. Like, that's something that it seemed kind of slipped out of the police report at the city council meeting where they're like, yeah, before he could be removed, he resigned.
Did they approve item number 21? Because it says 21 is they're trying to pay him for the time that he didn't work before his resignation on the 7th. Did they approve number 21?
Yeah, they approved all of them.
Okay.
Um, So he got the administrative leave with pay, and he got the resignation.
Mm.
It might have changed if he did get removed, so I'm sure that's why he resigned before he could be removed.
Before he was fired.
Yeah, and one of the things that the city council were trying to figure out is whether or not he would be able to move on to another parish or another town or something and become a police officer there. And the chief of police had said he didn't believe, he said no.
Twin was there?
Yeah, Twin's there every single time.
All right.
And one of the council, councilmen, it was, I don't remember his name all of a sudden. I think he was the guy taking minutes, but he was explaining that what he meant was Twin wasn't saying he would absolutely not be hired by another police department.
He was saying it was unlikely, and
if he got this kind of case given to him with a guy trying to be hired, he would turn it down.
Wait, Twin said that?
Yes, Twin said that. Yeah, whenever I was there and I started reading, I was like, wait, why did this guy resign a week after leave?
Oh, man. So the chief of police, for those of you who don't know, our chief of police was recently involved in an embroiled situation with his wife and lover. I don't know if he still has that particular lover, who is not his wife. Those are two different people.
She was also
I'm describing two different people.
They were
also
co-workers.
It culminated in gunplay, and Twin and I think also his former lover or potential lover, I don't know, not wife lover, were charged with some things as a result of that. And sorry, so that's why I'm giggling a little bit because
it was his lover.
it was his lover
that shot him and his wife.
And his wife in the hand
at their house.
Yeah, in the hand, right? Wasn't that it?
I think
a twin got shot in the hand, and it hit her somewhere else. Maybe
I don't. I think it was in her forearm.
In her forearm.
So details are a bit blurry.
Wild times. It is interesting that there is the police department agrees that there is a moral line that shall not be crossed. Where exactly that moral line is, though, they're still not certain. All right, moving on. Approved probational police officer Anthony Henry's confirmation to permanent police officer. I assume they're replacing the guy who just went out. And then permanent police officer first class Amber Sylvester's promotion to probational police sergeant, effective 6/9. So they're moving some things around to replace the guy that just left. Okay, that's all good. Anything else interesting at the city council meeting, Jesse? Anything interesting going down?
Not that I remember off the top of my head, but I will review some of the notes that I made. I know I had something else.
In other exciting news.
In other exciting news.
Opelousas is getting a Whataburger.
Ba-da-da-ba! That's right.
Yes.
They did groundbreaking, I think this past week, huh? Wasn't that it?
Was that
this
what the building week? That they're making?
Yeah, is? Next to Billy's Boudin. So where the new Billy's is. So you go to Chick-fil-A. Across the street from Chick-fil-A, there's the Billy's Taj Mahal that's been taking like 4 years to build. And then behind the Billy's Taj Mahal is the new Whataburger that's coming to town.
Have you guys had
a Whataburger?
The mystery is real.
I love Whataburger.
I like their fries.
I think that Whataburger is the best hamburger that's fast food.
It's been like 5 years for me.
That's available for purchase.
Is it really that good?
Well, we're not here to debate, but according to Developing Lafayette.
According to Developing Lafayette.
The Whataburger in Opelousas is expected to be open by fall of 2024.
And so, has the best hamburgers available in fast food. That's what the rest of the article said.
That is misquoting. Because that's not what it said.
Look, this isn't real news. This is sort of news. This is news that we talk about from a Christian worldview. And according to a Christian worldview, Whataburger is the best hamburger available in the fast food market.
Is that the whole covenantal?
Where's your proof text?
Second Babylonians, chapter 2.
Proverbs 32.
All right, guys. Well, there you have it. That's us walking through the city of Opelousas, most recent city council meeting agenda, just bit by bit, thinking through it well. I hope you found this helpful. and encouraging. Oh, Jesse just signaled me.
I do remember.
That
so,
he has one more thing to say.
Mayor Julius Alsandor had mentioned that they're going to most likely in the next city council meeting actually discuss what to do with the dog problem in Opelousas.
Whoa.
So there is a lot of strays.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Literally, I mean, I walked.
When we lived over on Azalea Street, there was a pack of dogs. That, in fact, I remember one time it was I had a standoff in my front yard with a stray dog, and I didn't have anything except a knife. And I was like, I might be about to knife this dog. Like this might be about to happen. And my kids play outside. Like it was a very serious thing because that dog was mad too. It was mean and mad and like chasing my kids.
Ugh. Did it bite you?
It did not bite me. It ran away eventually. Nice. I think my overwhelming presence scared it. And it said,
maybe he knew you had a knife.
He looked at me and was like, that guy's got a knife. I got to get out of here. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
So strays are a huge problem. Yeah, okay. Everybody's encountering it. I walk to work every now and then, and they recognize me. The strays recognize me.
Hey, it's my buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I follow him to work. Do you feed them?
No, I just walk. I just walk and they follow me sometimes.
He only feeds them affection.
Sometimes. So I think
Jesse is a dog person. That's true. Yes. That's true.
The primary responsibility of the dog problem would be the parish president, Jesse Bellard. I don't know.
Not inside of the city limits.
Maybe not inside of the city limits. I know it's a huge problem outside of the city limits too, though.
Yeah, no, when I've called animal control, St. Ledger Parish has always told me, are you inside the city limits? I'm like, yes. And they say, we don't do that. That's the city of Opelousas. And so then I would call city of Opelousas and I would get forwarded to, I think it was the marshal's office, or the guy who worked animal control for the city was also a marshal. And then he would come. And I don't know how to say this without sounding unkind. Let me try to find the way to best say it. The dogs could outrun him pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he would set traps. I remember he would come and set traps, but as far as a man capturing a dog and putting it somewhere, that was not really an option on the table. So there is animal control in the city. My point is, I just don't think it's effective. I don't think it's doing what it's supposed to do. I think there is a guy who has one of those little sticks with a rope on the end of it kind of thing. And maybe some traps, and it obviously is not working. Like, we need an animal control task force. Maybe Page 50 could do that as a side hustle.
Maybe. I was considering that.
Yeah, we could just go around and pick up dogs.
And sell them. No.
What would you do with them?
We'd put them on the Bissell Jet. Do y'all know about the Bissell Jet?
No, I know exactly what we would do. We would put them on the City of Opelousas yard sale. That's being advertised at the city meetings. Yes.
One dog, $5.
Take it or leave it. He has four legs.
Guys, thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of Parish Circuit as we attempt to go in and talk about the goings-on in our city and our parish from a Christian worldview. We hope that you enjoyed listening to this. We hope you found it helpful, and we intend to do more of these special episodes in the future. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.